It's been weeks, but I finally saw The Odyssey.
Don't you remember? Thunder. Fire. Death.
And I have some thoughts about the movie. I know that introduction may make it seem like that I think the movie is bad, but I don't. I think the movie's pretty good. Not my favorite Christopher Nolan, not the worst by any means. The guy makes pretty good movies on the whole, and I think this one is a pretty good Christopher Nolan film. I think on my Letterboxd, I gave it 3.5 stars, which is about how I feel about the film. Wasn't blown away, but I had a good time watching it. The other thing I'll say is that now having seen the movie, so much of the discourse about it feels not just besides the point to me, but actively pretty stupid. My basic perspective when it comes to adaptations like this one is that unless the director says otherwise, unless they say or some other prominent creative force says, this is meant to be an exact adaptation, we're trying to hit every beat exactly as it is in the original book or the original play or the original story or what have you. Unless someone says that, my view is that you should treat the adaptation as a take on the material by the director, by the writer, by everyone involved. And as long as that take respects at least the very basics of the source material, then I think pretty much all takes are valid. It's possible to have a take that isn't, but for the most part, I give a lot of creative leeway. And so complaints about The Odyssey casting black actors is sort of like, setting aside arguments about the realities of ancient Greece, this movie isn't meant to be a scene-for-scene reproduction of the social world of ancient Greece. It is a take on The Odyssey by a British-American director with a British-American cast and a British-American crew, and it reflects the sensibilities of the British and American people who made it. And in our world, there are black people, and so there are black people in this movie. This movie that is about a fictional world, about a story, a myth. Something that didn't literally happen. The same goes for complaints that the movie doesn't get the character of Odysseus right, that the movie is a little sexless compared to the actual story. Yes, that's true. The Odysseus of Nolan's Odyssey is not the Odysseus of the poem. Much about the movie is not precisely as it is in the poem, and that's fine. Again, it's a take. What is that take? That's what you're here for. What do I think is Christopher Nolan's take on The Odyssey? I think to answer this question, you first need to look at Christopher Nolan's previous work. You need to look at what he's been doing, and especially what he's been doing for roughly the past 20 years. Beginning, I would say, with The Dark Knight.
And here we go.
The Dark Knight is released in 2008. It is a sensation. It is the movie that I think makes Christopher Nolan the massive director that he is. His previous films, The Prestige, Batman Begins, certainly, Insomnia, Memento, those were good and well-regarded. Batman Begins was a big hit. But The Dark Knight is what took Nolan from well-regarded and well-liked director to kind of directorial superstar. Now, what happens in The Dark Knight? We're not going to rehash the entire movie, but it, of course, is a Batman film. And it's a Batman film in which Batman confronts a force of chaos, of dangerous and destructive chaos that is terrorizing Gotham City.
Some men just want to watch the world burn.
Batman, the self-appointed defender of Gotham, tries everything he can to stop this force of chaos, but cannot, and it's driven to despair. This force of chaos takes everything that he loves. And so in desperation, Batman steps over the line. He subjects all of Gotham to surveillance without their consent in order to find the Joker and stop him.
Unethical? Dangerous. You've turned every cell phone in Gotham into a microphone.
And a high-frequency generator receiver.
You took my sonar concept and applied it to every phone in the city. With half the city feeding you sonar, you can image all of Gotham. This is wrong.
I've got to find this man, Lucius.
At what cost?
And he succeeds. He succeeds in finding the Joker. He succeeds in stopping him. He even proves, or the people themselves prove, that they're not so easily manipulated, that they're not the bloodthirsty, chaos-loving people that the Joker thinks they are.
Give it to me, and I'll do what you should have did 10 minutes ago.
But Batman also knows that he has broken a fundamental trust with the people of Gotham. He stole their privacy. He covered up the criminal acts of Harvey Dent, Gotham's district attorney, and Golden Boy, who in despair and rage killed innocent people and threatened many others. Batman saved Gotham from chaos, but to do so, he broke the social order. He violated fundamental rules. Batman is again a hero, but he does not leave the stage as a shining beacon of heroism. He leaves the stage as a pariah, as a dark knight, a protector.
Because he can take it. Because he's not a hero.
Not the hero the city needs, but the one it deserves. Nolan follows up The Dark Knight with Inception, then The Dark Knight Rises, a movie that speaks to Nolan's discomfort with fear of demagoguery.
Gotham! Take control! Take control of your city!
And then we get Interstellar, a movie in which Nolan asks, am I a bad dad? Followed by Dunkirk, and then Tenet, a movie which asks, will my children in the future hate me so much for my neglect that they'll want to come back in time and destroy the past? And then we get Oppenheimer. A biopic about J. Robert Oppenheimer, father of the atomic bomb. What is Oppenheimer about? The world is in chaos. Nazi Germany is rampaging across Europe. And they have to be stopped. One man enlists to do just that. To harness the power of science, to harness the power of physics, to harness the power of the sun to build a weapon to try to stop the Nazis. And they do it. They build this weapon. But the Nazis have been defeated, and so it's used in Japan. And it's a weapon of horrific destruction, the most destructive thing humanity has ever created. It breaks the rules of war. Wars are no longer something that can be contained between states. With this weapon, wars can now destroy the world. They banished chaos. They defeated Nazi chaos. They defeated Imperial Japan. They brought order back to the world. But in doing so, they unleashed something. They broke something. And Oppenheimer, who more than anyone else is responsible for that, does not leave the scene as a hero. He leaves the scene as something closer to a pariah. Someone who is acknowledged for what he does, but not celebrated. Someone who fades away, who gets his medal at the end, and then goes off to a quiet retirement. In Nolan's Odyssey, Odysseus is a man who has to take on the burden of going to war, to end this war, to go home, to win. He breaks the rules. This is the Trojan horse. He breaks the rules. He breaks Zeus's rule. In doing so, he unleashes chaos. Chaos in the form of himself and his men, who are, as the film tells us, the sea people who are terrorizing the Mediterranean. This chaos, this rot, extends even back to his own home. And so he must make the journey back to banish chaos from Ithaca. Save his family. Save his kingdom. But having done so, he does not stand as a glimmering hero. Having done so, he must accept exile. Because to save Ithaca from chaos, he must again break the rules. And so he goes off into the western sun in exile. Am I saying that The Odyssey and Oppenheimer and The Dark Knight are all kind of the same movie? Yeah, that's pretty much what I'm saying. Those three movies constitute a heroic cycle for Nolan. They are his meditations on heroism. The Odyssey fits exactly into them. It does not have the same thematic structure, but it very much is speaking to the same thematic concerns as these other two movies. In all three movies, Nolan gives us a traditional male hero, a superhero, an intellectual, a soldier. In each case, that hero takes it upon themselves to do the work of banishing chaos from the land, in whichever form it takes. But critically, accomplishing this requires the hero to break the rules of society, to break the rules of war. The heroism is no longer a crown to wear lightly, but a burden that carries heavy on the shoulders. It is almost akin to a curse. You have broken the rules of the world, broken the rules of Zeus, broken the rules of war. At the end of Batman Begins, Gordon speaks to Bruce in a scene that I love, where he explains that Bruce donning a mask has changed something in Gotham.
What about escalation?
Escalation.
We start carrying semi-automatics, they buy automatics. We start wearing Kevlar, they buy armor-piercing rounds.
Yeah.
And you're wearing a mask, jumping off rooftops. Now take this guy. Armed robbery, double homicide. Got a taste for the theatrical, like you. Leaves a calling card.
And in The Dark Knight, Nolan makes it all the more explicit when we see the criminals of Gotham go to the Joker for help. Go to this force of chaos to help them beat back something they don't quite understand. Nolan believes that there are heroes, and Nolan believes that those heroes are great men, or can be. But he also believes that those heroes bear some responsibility for creating the world that they now have to save. Not total responsibility. He continuously says, in the end, it is men of chaos, it is men of evil, who choose to do those things. They aren't forced to, they choose to. And thus, the ultimate responsibility lies with them. But the hero does not escape blame. Nolan also clearly thinks that chaos of this sort is so corrosive, so dangerous, that you may have to break the rules to address it. You may have to step outside the bounds of society to beat it back, to recontain it. Now, from this perspective, you might be thinking of Nolan as like a conservative filmmaker, but where this veers from an American-style kind of reactionary glorification of the anti-hero into something a little more interesting is that Nolan thinks that having done this, having broken the rules to stop the chaos, the hero has to pay for it, has to accept the punishment of the gods, whatever form that might take. Because the rules are still the rules, and they were broken. And no matter how much you can justify it, even if it's eminently justifiable, it still must be held to account. And so what's my take on the Odyssey? It is Nolan exploring this even further, and doing so with a clear set of allusions to the modern United States. Odysseus is us. We are the ones who broke something in the world. It might have been necessary, but we did it anyway. And now we will pay the price. We will suffer justifiably for what we've unleashed on the world. And even if we can put it back, even if we can banish the chaos that we ourselves unleashed, having done that, we carry that as a burden, as something that weighs on us, not as something that we can celebrate. And the Odyssey is another entry into this, again, exploration of these themes. And you know what? I'm glad he can do it. I'm glad that Hollywood is giving this guy hundreds of millions of dollars every couple years to make these quite idiosyncratic blockbusters about this guy's political and social anxieties. I'm all for it. That's what filmmaking is for, baby. It's cinema.
What a picture. What a picture.
And so I hope to see another entry in this little series Nolan is clearly doing. I'm very curious to see where it goes next and how it continues to develop. Thanks for watching. Let me know what you think. And as always, I'll see you next time.